Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Minister, 12th Hour Apostolic Church Attorney Congregation. Now it's out the 12th Hour in the organization. Today is April 1, 2023. It is Abib 11, 2026. We restored our first service on this Sabbath day to the song.
Bring them in from the fields of sin. Tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua, to go and help the shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, to bring him back into the fold, where there'll be shepherds from the cold. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua. Out in the desert, hear the cry. Out on the mountains, far and wide. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find the sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wanderers to Yahshua.
Main topic is called Ezekiel's 47 River, called the River of Ezekiel's 47 Vision. That's the Shepherd's Rod book. We're going to start with page 1. It was previously explained that Zechariah's prophecy is applicable to the church in the time of the loud cry. Thus it becomes present true. We quote from Zechariah 12:5, and that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David in the house of the David, shall be as a Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Okay, before the great multitude of Revelation 7:9. Okay, it says, so it says, in that day, for the church and her purity is called by these scriptures the house of David. Therefore, this term becomes one of the names of the church in the time of the loud cry. Thus, the church under the name shall be as Yahweh before the people. The meaning here is the same as in the Exodus 7:1. And the Yahshua said unto the Moses, see, I have made thee a Yahweh unto the Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Servant, that is, thou shalt represent my person and act like the Yahweh by the requiring obedience unto my commands, and by the punishing disobedience with such punishment as none that the Yahweh can inflict, under which end thou shalt have my omnipotent assistance. This is a commission for the church in the time of the harvest. The Apostle Peter was vested with such divine power when he said, thou hast not lied unto man, but unto Yahweh. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Then Peter said unto her, Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Acts 5:4-5, 7, 9, and 10. In that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David, and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's the capital of Judea, of Judah, for sin and for uncleanness. So the leadership then of the house of David, all the ministers that live in Jerusalem, are going to be a part of this fountain of David open for sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Note that this fountain is able to wash away two things. First, sin, and second, uncleanness. What is the difference between the one and the other? Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. And the result of sin is the decay of the body. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when any man hath to run an issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. Leviticus 15:2. The biblical term for sickness is uncleanness. Also taking into the body in the form of the food of that which is forbidden by the word of Yahweh is transgression of the law and corruption of the body uncleanness. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Yeshua, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Yeshua and of Yahweh. Let no man deceive you with the vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of the disobedient. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Yeshua. Walk as children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:5-8-11. For Yahweh is able to heal the soul and the body, but he will not heal the latter before he has healed the former. Sin first, then uncleanness. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Ezekiel 36:29. For the power that is able to wash away the filthiness of any man is open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And that's 144,000. That's the inhabitants of Jerusalem at this time. And is represented by the fountain of the Zechariah's prophecy. Says the Ezekiel, in the 25th year of our captivity, and in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, and the selfsame day the hand of Yeshua was upon me, and he brought me thither. Ezekiel 41, verse 1. As recorded, the 47th chapter, Ezekiel was shown in a vision certain particulars of the temple building some years before the Israelites were made free from the Babylonian captivity. It has been previously explained that the temple erected after their captivity was a type of this particular church in the time of the loud cry, the house of David. Now we are at the head of this house of David. Therefore, the river coming out from the temple, according to the Ezekiel's vision, applicable at this time and is but the expansion of this fountain that is to be in the house of the David, the church. From this fountain flows the mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. Counsels on Health, page 210. Thus far we have explained the application of this fountain, the place and the time. Also that the mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision flows from it. Now we shall study the meaning of this mighty river. Ezekiel 47, verse 1. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. As the waters came from the south side of the altar, and then went toward the east, it shows clearly that they proceeded from the north, which symbolically denotes that whatever the meaning of the waters may be, they come from the throne of the Yahweh, for it is in the side of the north. Isaiah 14:14, Psalms 48:7 and 75:6. This is all Ezekiel's attention was turned to the interior, where he first saw the waters. He says, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Were to the loins. Afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters was risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth. Whosoever the river shall come shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of the fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglim. It shall be a place for the spreading forth nets, for the fish shall be according unto their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the marred places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given unto salt, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for me, whose leaves shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his amount, because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine, Ezekiel 47:2-12. It will be noticed that as Ezekiel first saw the waters by the side of the altar, they were of the little significance and the comparison with that which he saw outside the gate. As the tiny rivulet immediately swelled into a mighty river, it represents something of the very rapid growth. These waters denote the same as the waters in the Revelation 17:15. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. For the angel said unto the Ezekiel, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Ezekiel 47:8. Therefore these waters represent a very great multitude which no man could number, that shall be healed from sin and disease, saved in the time of the loud cries, through the ministry of the house of David, the church, purified, I might add. As Ezekiel could not swim this river, the symbol is in the perfect harmony with the Revelation 7:9. A great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, clothed with their white robes and palms in their hands. Note that the reason the waters are healed is because they are brought forth into the sea. If the mighty river represents the saints from the earth, then the sea must be a symbol of the sinless world, inhabitants, and the universe of Yahweh. As the river is brought into the sea, it denotes that the saints shall come in contact with the eternal nations who know not sin. And being brought forth, we must be healed before we meet each other. The facts of this symbol prove that this is the last section of the Yahweh's church, the church that shall be translated without tasting death. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We are now standing on the winds of eternity, a life that shall never cease. For the waters that make up this mighty river represents a multitude of the saints endowed with the healing power from the throne of Yahweh. For the word says, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Ezekiel 47:9, last part. This healing is not indefinite, but permanent. For we read, And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live eternally. If the angel had measured 3 times 1,000 cubits, says Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And by the river up on the bank thereof, said the angel, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his mouth. Because their waters, they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:6-12. For the value of the leaves and the fruit of these trees is identically the same as the tree of life according unto Revelation 22:2. And on the other side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. For the significance is that the church of Yahweh, house of David, is endowed with the power from the throne for the offering of life eternal with no taste of the death unto those who accept the truth and are willing to become a part of this mighty river. As this is the only section of the Yahweh church that has been granted the authoritative gospel of the permanent healing and life everlasting, the word declares, he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come steady. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from the Engedi even unto an Eglion. Their fish shall be according unto their kind. As the fish of the great sea exceeding many, Ezekiel 47:9-10, a fish represents those who are to be converted unto the church, the river. And everything shall live where the river cometh, Ezekiel 47:9. The ministry is symbolized as the fishes, and Yahshua is said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. For the apostles at one time left the gospel net and ceased to be fishers of men, as they went fishing for game. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yahshua stood on the shore. And Yahshua said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find it. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. John 21:3-6, success never fails when the command of the master is obeyed. If the ministry had been constantly inquiring of Yahshua where and how to cast the net, there would have been a multitude of fish converse and never a lack of meat, men. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east. Ezekiel 47:1. For the position of the house proves that it represents a true worship. For thus Yahweh's chosen people were instructed to build their temples. Israel, worshippers, worshipped Yahweh with their backs toward the east to remind them that they should have no respect for the sun worship and idolatry. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Ezekiel 47:8. It is remarkable to note how perfect these symbols are in each instance. This direction of the compass denotes that the message of the loud cry is to start eastward when it is first revealed. For the church membership being largely east of California and across the Atlantic, naturally the message must start toward the east. This symbolical prophecy reveals that the message of the loud cry is to originate in California, thus fulfilling the prophetic words of the spirit of the prophecy. In a letter to Elder E.E. Andrews, I feel confident, Elder Andrews, that the brethren in Southern California will find a blessing in the reviewing the teachings of the scriptures concerning the 144,000 and bringing to bear upon these teachings whatever light there may be in the published writings of the spirit of prophecy. And as a prayerful consideration is given the matter and all its bearing, I believe that Yahweh will make the truth sufficiently clear to make possible the avoidance of the needless and unprofitable question not vital for the salvation of the precious soul. East being the biblical direction of idolatry is also signifies that the message is headed toward the conversion of sinners and the destruction of idolatry. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yeshua of the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Okay, it says that's Zechariah 13:2. For the angel measured four times 1,000 cubits eastward, 1,000, 10 times 100. Why 4 times 1,000? Why not more or less? It has been previously explained that number 10 is a symbol of the universal. And that number 4, completeness of the earth, are the 4 points of the compass. Thus it symbolically denotes that the message is worldwide, and while it starts toward the east, it spreads from pole to pole and encircles the earth completely. 10 times 100 equals 1,000 times 4 times. In the perfect harmony with the words of Yahshua, and this gospel at the kingdom of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. But the marriage places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to Saul, Ezekiel 47:11. For the marshes and the marriage places represent denominations and sects separate of the mighty river, and that they shall not be saved or healed. Turned to salt means eternally lost, as it was Lot's wife, and as it was in the days of the Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17:26-32. It shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Negrium. The two cities, shall be a place to spread forth nets, Ezekiel 47:10. These two cities reveal that the fish are caught in the two places, and you see SDA Church, where the 144,000 are gathered, and the first fruits, in Eglion, Babylon, at the, or the world, where the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9 are gathered. For the diagram on the chart, page 294, represents the SDA Church in Judea as it becomes the house of David. So in Judea becomes the house of David. And the place of the river in Eglion denotes the world. For the stream from the fountain where it first starts to the east, a gate represents 144,000, and the river stands for the great multitude. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of Yahweh, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. For Yahweh is in the midst of her, or Yeshua, the Son, is in the midst of her. So he's the one coming down here leading his great army to accomplish the harvesting of the whole world. She shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her. And that right early. So that's in Psalms 46:4-5. Okay, now that seems to be the end of that, but that's justification by faith, what is it? Justification by faith, what is it? All the blessings written in the preceding chapters are apprehended in the following. Though this most important subject is the simplest of all biblical truth, it has been widely confused and largely misunderstood. For the example of one man's experience in the things of Yahweh and his justification by the faith, what is it by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant? That's in Romans 5:8-11. Should clear the widespread confusion that is justified by in his blood. Now sure, and remove the veil which has been drawn over the eyes of the faithful. Under that also which is of the faith of the Abraham, who is the father of all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:16-17, when the method pursued by the Abraham is followed, then and then only can any one of us be justified. There is no other way, and if ye be assured, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. John 8:39. Let us take notice of the Abraham's faith, experience, and justification. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Yahshua, look unto the rock, whence you are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit which you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, Isaiah 51:1-2. This is that in the following it will be noticed that Abraham responded without hesitation unto all of Yahweh's commanded him to do. Now the Yahweh said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. So Abram departed, as the Yahweh had spoken unto him, and the Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Yahweh, and appeared unto him. Genesis 12:1-7. And the Yahweh said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look toward the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, unto thee will I give it, and unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Yahweh. Genesis 13:14-18. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee, and their generation. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you, shall be circumcised. And Abraham took the Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, and the selfsame day, as Yahweh has said unto him. Genesis 17:9-10-23. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder, and the child and sent her away. Genesis 21, 12 and 14. And it came to pass after these things that Yahweh did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which Yahweh had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Yahweh called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither did thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest Yahweh, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And the angel of Yahweh called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith Yahweh, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing shall I bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 22, 1-3, 9-12, 15-18. Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of Yahweh. James 2:23. By the simply doing the things that Yahweh asked of him, he obtained this record. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 26:5-4, and having childlike faith in the word and doing all Yahweh has said is the only sanctification and righteousness, that is Yeshua. Such are the children of Abraham, and to them is the promise. They openly declare that the blood of Yeshua has the power to save them from the bondage of sin and from the condemnation of the law. They shall inherit the land forever and ever. These are the Israel of Yahweh. They are no others, and this only is the righteousness and sanctification by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant. Again, Hebrews 10:19-20. This brings the end of that study. Justification by faith, seed of Abraham. Now, we're going to go back to the river of Ezekiel's vision. This is track number 17 that M.J. Bingham, Vichy Hollis editor, he wrote this track in 1983. He put some extra stuff, I believe, in here. That's pretty good. And I think I'll finish off a few minutes with this of my sermon. It says, to the saints in light, Colossians 1:12, intent on being of the waters of salvation of the Ezekiel's mighty river as it flows into the sea of eternity, the publication of the prophetic light now at eventide is made available without obligation, save the soul's unforgiving obligation unto itself for the proving all things, holding fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Thus the only strings attached to this precious proffer are the golden strands of Eden and the crimson cords of Calvary, the ties that bind. Okay, it says the river of Ezekiel's vision. In that day, says the scripture, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. For the waters of this fountain contains medicinal properties that will heal both physical and spiritual infirmities. From this fountain flows a mighty river seen in Ezekiel's vision. These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall flow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his months, because of the waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Ezekiel 47:8-12. Okay, it says, as Zechariah's prophecy projects the church in the time of the loud cry, thus it becomes present truth in that day, declares inspiration. Shall the Yeshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yeshua before them. Zechariah 12:8. Behold, the great multitude, Revelation 7:9-14, a living, not a resurrected multitude, as the inspiration attests in the following testimony. So it says, for the message of the renewing power of the Yahweh's grace will be carried unto every country and clime, until the truth shall belt the world of the number of them that shall be sealed will be those who have come from every nation and kindred and tongue and people. From every country will be gathered men and women, a great multitude of verse 9, who will stand before the throne of the Yahweh and before the Lamb, crying, salvation unto our Yahweh, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Revelation 7:10. But before this work can be accomplished, we must experience here in our own country the work of the Holy Spirit upon every heart. And that is CT 532, whatever that's a CT stands for, Ellen G. White. Thus, the true witness testifies that contrary unto the prevalent belief. The great multitude of the Revelation 7, 9, and 10 are living contemporary saints, not resurrected ones, and that the gathering of them cannot be accomplished until the work of the Holy Spirit is experienced upon the heart of the believers in the United States. For the house of David, one of the several designations of the purified church in the time of the loud cry, thus the church in her purity, the house of David, shall be as the Yahweh before the people, just as the Yahweh made Moses before to Pharaoh. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God unto the Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Exodus 7:1. In other words, the Yahweh is saying unto Moses, thou shalt represent my person and act like the Yahweh by requiring obedience unto all my commands, by meting out to the disobedience such punishment as none but Yahweh can inflict, to which end thou shalt have my omnipotent assistance. This is Yahweh's commission unto his purified church, the house of David, in the time of the harvest, and that harvest is in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. Such was the divine power with which the apostle Peter was vested when he said, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto the Yahweh. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter said unto her, behold, the feet of him which hath buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Acts 5:4, 5:7, 9, and 10. In that day, when Yahweh pours upon the house of David the spirit of the grace and of the supplication, Zechariah 12:10, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Note that this fountain is able to wash away two conditions. First, sin; second, uncleanness. What is the difference between the one and the other? Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. And the result of sin is the decay of the body. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. Leviticus 15:2. The biblical term for sickness is uncleanness, and taking into the body for food that which is forbidden by the word of Yahweh is the transgression of the law and corruption of the body, uncleanness. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Yahshua and of Yahweh, that no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of the disobedient. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, and now are ye light in the Yahshua. Walk as the children of the light, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So they don't like being reproved. They call it standing in their face. saying things to them that they didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
So he caught her standing in their face. I'm the one that's in the wrong. Standing in their face telling them the truth, they don't like it. Yet they're standing in your face if they want to and think nothing about it. Yahweh is able to heal the soul and the body, but he will not heal the body, for he has healed the soul. Sin first and uncleanness. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Ecclesiastes 36:29. For the power that is able to wash away the filthiness of man is open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and is represented by the fountain of the Zechariah's prophecy, 6 Testimonies 2:27, records Ezekiel in the 25th year of our captivity, and in the 14th year after that, the city was smitten. And the selfsame day, the hand of the Yahweh was upon me and brought me thither to the temple building, Ezekiel 40:1. Then, as recorded in his 47th chapter, Ezekiel was shown in the vision certain particulars of the temple building some years before the Israelites were made free from the Babylonian captivity. As the temple erected after their captivity was a type of the Yahweh's purified church, the house of David, that we represent right here today. My wife and I represent this house of David in the time of the loud cry. Therefore, Ezekiel's river proceeding from the temple applies at this time and is but the expansion of this fountain that is to be in the house of the David. So that fountain, it trickles out on the threshold of the house, and then it becomes a mighty river, and it heals the people. The fountain heals the people in the house, and when it becomes a mighty river, it heals everybody it touches on the outside. From this fountain flows the mighty river seen and the Ezekiel's vision. The book of Ezekiel is deeply instructive. Read Ezekiel 47. I said, wonderful is the work which Yahweh designs to accomplish through his church, that his name may be glorified. A picture of this work is given in Ezekiel's vision of the river of healing. And that's taken from Acts of the Apostles, page 13:1-5. Clearly, therefore, this light on the prophetic fountain and the place and the time of it, also on the mighty river flowing from it, is saving present truth. Now, the meaning of the mighty river of Ezekiel 47. This brings us into our step this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, number 11. Click on audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Hello, everyone. It's United Day. Minister of Trotha, Apostolic Salutary Congregation, on South of Trotha, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 31, 2016. Art is, it is, Cheshu 1, 2020. This is the new moon Sabbath. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Lost and His glory, of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell this story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies.
Yashua and his love.